yes, you're hearing that theme music correctly, and you're looking at your watch going, well, wait a minute, it's not 9:30 yet. Okay, I horribly mistimed 38 special and hold on loosely.
I think guys like Randy Snyder and Dan Pomeroy are celebrating because they're getting an extra minute and a half.
They're probably not tuned in yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
very
not
possibly
9:30.
True. Yeah.
So we're just gonna say some mindless dribble until it's 9:30.
Don't we do that for a half an hour anyway?
I was gonna say, what's the difference between that and the end of the show? Not much, but you know. So we're just gonna kind of kill this time, just talking about anything.
Yeah.
All right, so how's life? Mason, I know you got issues this morning.
Yeah, we won't get into that one, but...
Yeah, we don't want to go there this morning. So, Blankman, you got anything on your mind this morning? You got 25 seconds worth of stuff to talk about?
No, not really.
I got something we can go over. Okay. I was just going to say I was pleased with last night doing a triangular volleyball. I was pleased with went.
Hey, that's sports information. You hold that off for another 12 seconds. We're not talking sports until 9:30. It is now 9:54, 55. Okay. All right. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and start the show all over again.
Okay.
Here we go. That's just good radio right there, man. I may have to repost that later on.
There you go.
It's KCIM Sports Rewind, right on time at 9:30 here on KCIM. I'm John Ryan.
I'm Jeff Blankman.
And I'm Mason Yellen.
Thanks for the pregnant pause there. Nicely done.
I didn't know if Mason was going first.
Oh, sure. I only get top billing because I'm the guy behind the control board.
Yes.
So after that, it's all the Blankman show, and we're just little bit players here. So let's talk baseball.
Okay.
Major League Baseball playoffs, they're not that far away, like 6 games away for the rest of the regular season.
Yep.
The story, everybody's watching the utter collapse of the Detroit Tigers. I mean, these guys, Cleveland was 15 and a half games behind in the first part of July. They are now one game behind a three-game series at Detroit coming up. And the last 10 games, Detroit is 1-9. Cleveland is 9-1.
So what happened?
I don't know. I don't know what happened to Detroit that they just collapsed like that. I don't know if there was injuries. I don't follow them that much. But, man, it's just been – I looked up, and all of a sudden Cleveland was right there.
Yeah. I knew they were charging. Now, the interesting thing you'll sometimes see it is that, you know, a team will make a run like this. Either they stay really hot or they fall apart. So will they end up going into Detroit and kind of all of a sudden everything that's maybe bouncing their way will – well, now stop bouncing their way, and they end up getting swept, and Detroit ends up, you know, getting out of the slump that they're in. But it sounds like this slump's been 3 months' worth of a slump.
I don't know if you turn around that big of a drop-off in that soon.
No, I don't. I mean, unless you somehow go in and sweep Cleveland, I don't think that you have to either win two or you have to win three there to be able to say, you know, we can still go and make a decent push. But if you're going to slump going to the playoffs, that's the worst time to be getting into a slump.
If you don't win the division, you're out.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much.
Yeah.
In the American League right now, they're going to be fighting with, the Astros and the Red Sox for that last spot.
Right.
So it's
Yankees and Red Sox almost have those wrapped up, almost, don't
Yankees
they?
Yankees are, about 4 games up on the Red Sox. The Red Sox have a 1-game lead over the Guardians and the Astros now. So, yeah, do you throw Detroit in that mix, and you got yourself an epic collapse in the making for Detroit. That's just crazy to think
about.
Because think about it, I was so cheering for a Milwaukee and Detroit World Series. I really was.
Were you?
Just to upset those Yankee and Red Sox and Dodger fans out there.
So that they would not watch it because, you know, they say they're baseball fans, but means their team's not in it. They won't watch, right? Yeah.
I tell you, that Milwaukee team is fun to watch.
Are they?
They really are. They are a good team. They've cooled off since, you know, they were super red hot August or so. And when the Cubs couldn't make up any ground at all.
Right.
And now they've kind of come back to earth a little bit. But still, just a very good team. They're my odds-on favorite right now to win everything.
Okay. I'm just sitting here hoping that the Reds can squeeze into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. As a Reds fan, it seems like it's been since 1990. I know it hasn't been, but it just feels like it's been since 1990 that we were decent. It'd be nice to get into the postseason and kind of feel what it feels like again.
Well, that American League East, you got Philly, you got the Mets, and you have the Braves. You figure it'd be a three-team shootout there.
Right.
Braves are nowhere to be found. They've been MIA all season. The Mets are barely hanging on. They're 4-6 in their last 10. 10. So they're on the outside looking in right now. The Reds are in that final spot. So the National League Central Division has three teams in right now.
Hopefully it stays that way, because the Central rarely gets, you know, much pub and much credit. You know, it doesn't help when the Cardinals have kind of fallen off. When St. Louis is really good, then the Central seems to get respect. And when St. Louis is not really good, you know, sorry, Tom Hawkap and Jeff Honnold, but when St. Louis isn't, you know, contending for World Series, it seems to, you know, drop off the luster of the Central a little bit.
If I'd have told you at the beginning of the year, three National League Central teams would make the playoffs, it'd have been the Brewers, the Cubs, and the Cardinals.
And the Cardinals.
Nobody would have given a thought for the Pirates and the Reds, and the Pirates are an afterthought anyway.
No, the only thing I'll say is the Reds went out and got a manager, and now they're finding out what maybe it's like to have a manager that can manage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Finally starting to get some better pitching going there and everything. So, it's going to be fun. Last six games of the year, that Cleveland-Detroit race, though, that's going to be fun to watch.
It is, looking forward to the postseason getting started. So.
Yeah. Any surprises so far in the NFL season for you, Mason?
The fact that the Bears can't win a game besides playing the Cowboys.
That just brings joy to my heart right there, which you said that. Although they kicked the you-know-what out of the Cowboys.
I think the Cowboys are just terrible this year. They have the highest-paid quarterback in the league that threw two interceptions to a linebacker.
There's only one team I'll ever cheer for the Bears against, and that's the Cowboys. That's it. So, they did that very well. Green Bay losing to Cleveland on Sunday.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a shocker.
The block kick was the one that got that one. I was surprised, too, by the Vikings' defense and how well they played in their game, too.
They rebounded well, Andrew Van Ginkle finally back. Harrison Smith finally back for those guys. So they just had a lights-out game at home against the Bengals. In fact, I'm sitting there watching the game. I'm a Vikings fan, loving it. It's 34-3 or something like that. And then they come on and go, because this game is such a blowout, we're going to switch you to another game. And I'm like, no, I want to watch my team win. But they didn't even give me that joy. So I took a loss on a day that we just won overwhelmingly.
Does J.J. McCarthy get his job back?
I believe I should.
Okay.
There's no reason. He suffered with a horrible offensive line. That left tackle they had early in the year was nothing. I mean, it was just a sieve, and he was under pressure all the time. So, I would hope that J.J. gets a chance. You got to get him going.
Right.
You know, I think he's going to be a special quarterback for him, but we'll see. Okay. Carson Wentz, I mean, played okay.
Right.
He didn't play great.
Okay.
The whole team played much better, and having Darisaw back at left tackle made all the difference in the world for them.
So. I just heard that he was having a hard time reading defenses. That was just the talk I heard
I think he was under so much pressure.
Okay.
You know, if you have to instantly read, he wasn't holding the ball too long, I didn't think. But anyway.
Okay.
How about the trivia question of the day?
All right.
In football, Aaron Rodgers just threw his 510th career passing touchdown on Sunday. It moves him past Brett Favre for fourth most NFL history. Who are the three quarterbacks that are ahead of Aaron Rodgers in all-time career touchdown passes?
Breeze.
Drew Brees, correct.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning, correct.
And Tom Brady.
Dude, where were you?
I didn't need to. I knew Mason had it handled.
Man, Blankman, MIA on that trivia question.
I will be honest with you. Besides the Super Bowl, I can't tell you the last time, and I know people are going to go, oh, you're not a sports fan. I can't remember the last time I sat down and watched an NFL game. I DVR college games and on Saturday because I'm never home, and then I sit at home on Sunday while I'm working and I watch college football. So I can't remember. It's probably been a decade besides maybe a postseason game where I've sat down and watched an NFL game. So.
Well, since Don Shula was in the league with the Miami Dolphins, right?
Yeah, when Dan Marino was quarterback, that was probably the last time. So,
So anyway, that's my little tidbit, my contribution to the show. You guys need to take over now. We're going to talk some local sports.
Yep.
Charlotte Schwabe, state bound.
Yeah, playing really well in tennis and has all season long. Was preseason ranked and then moved up the rankings as the season went on, and did a great job last week at their individual state qualifying. Got herself into the final, swept through her first-round match, swept through her quarterfinals, not even losing a game, let alone a set, and then I think dropped a game or so in the semis, but swept through that 2-0 and got into the finals, won the first set, and then dropped the next two to finish finish in second, but does qualify for state as an individual. She'll have a chance to help her team get there. They've got a couple of rounds to get through. They take on St. Edmund up at St. Edmund on Wednesday. The Knights had lost to them earlier this year, and if they get through that matchup, they'll play again Friday. More than likely, it's Dyke New Hartford. I'm just guessing off of that. Of course, haven't seen Dyke play this year, but they're 13-1 on the year, so I'm imagining they're the number one seed in that region. So that's who Kemper would probably have to go through to be able to make it. And Mason, you typed up the Audubon story last night. What a heartbreaker for the Wheelers.
Yeah, I mean, you go 4-2 in the singles matchups there, and I felt like they were probably pleased with that, but then doubles just came to be kind of a struggle there. It looked like they just struggled from looking at kind of the scores there. And, you know, you go in, and with a lot of promise going into doubles, it just probably wasn't the best look for Coach Nissen and for Audubon that, you know, you come out of there with the 0-3 in doubles, but props to them on a pretty good season as well.
Yeah, and their season does come to an end, though, last night with that tough loss on the road. And again, you know, you go down and take four of the five, you know, singles matches, you got to, you know, feel for the four of the five, you got to feel like you're in pretty good shape, or four of the six, I should say, and you got to feel pretty good going into doubles. So,
tell you, they're at state already for in tennis. That's crazy to think about, whereas the girls' swim team seemed like they just started their season.
They did, yeah. They've only had three meets so far this year.
Considered fall sports, yeah.
Yes, yeah. With swimming being more indoors, I like the fact, honestly, it was kind of different back, you know, August the 4th, and we're having our first tennis match of the season, so it felt kind of weird to be going, we literally just wrapped up baseball and softball, and when we've got another season that's starting already. But, you know, I always kind of wonder that, you know, maybe cross country needs to be moved up just a little bit. I know running early, you know, if you're running in mid-August, it's going to be really hot. So I'm not saying that, but, you know, I've talked to some cross country coaches and stuff. There's been some cross country state weekends where you're literally up there in, you know, cover hauls and in about six layers, and it's 35 mile an hour winds out of the northwest, and the temperature's well below zero, and it's just miserable. So when you're running the first part of November, but then there's also been days where it's 60 some. But I kind of don't mind the fact that tennis is kind of wrapping up a little bit before it gets kind of miserably cold for them to go out and have to maybe play, you know, at state tournament, which will be next week. But, swimming, you mentioned that.
Tennis is not a sport you play in the freezing cold. I mean,
no, they do in the spring some, yeah. I agree. I played a ton of tennis growing up as a kid.
Nice.
Yeah, we didn't have a tennis team, so I didn't ever play that kind of tennis. But, you know, we had tennis courts and played almost every day in the summer. I never went up late in the fall or early in the spring because I wanted to be in shorts and a T-shirt and be comfortable to go play. Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely warm weather for sure. So go back to the Carroll Girls swim team. How are they? Give us an update there.
They had their first home meet last Tuesday, ended up losing to Lewis Central. But their relays, I think their relays are going to be really good for them this year. They took first in the 200 medley relay that day, took first in the 200 freestyle relay, and second in the 400 freestyle relay. And they also had, a few individual champions as well, with Briley Behrens, Ava Heinode, and Harper Ladwig. And them three seemed to be swimming extremely, extremely well for them. They went up to Fort Dodge on Saturday, just their third event of the season. They would finish in fourth place overall as a team. Their 200 medley relay of Harper Ladwig, Alexis Borkowski, Briley Behrens, and Grace Schoenover finished up in second place. Grace Schoenover would take third in the 500 free. Harper Ladwig was third in the 100 backstroke, and Sophia Malone finished third in the 100 breaststroke. Now, you look at the places, I know Coach says they're swimming really good times. They're setting PRs almost every single time they go out. I think she said the other day they had eight PRs at a meet. So they're getting better and kind of rolling into that mid-season form here eventually. But, yeah, they started so much later than everybody else. By the time they had their first meet, most teams had three in the books already. So
they're swimming well at this point of the season. How far into their season are they? I mean, when does the postseason hit for swimming?
The postseason will be in November is when the state tournament, because usually...
So they've got another full month to go.
They do, yeah. There's been many a times where I've been up at the Dome covering a game up there and then drove back and stopped at state swimming on the way through and tucking. You know, just took a little bit of a different route. It's harder to do that now because it used to be in Marshalltown. So when you were coming from Cedar Falls, it was pretty easy. But now you'd have to run down to Iowa City where they moved it to, so... Not that that's a farther drive. It's just kind of not on the way home.
Yeah, it doesn't get you any closer to home.
Yeah, and stuff like that. But, yeah, so they've got some time, and things will get really busy for them here soon where they'll be going meet after meet after meet.
All right, volleyball over the weekend, Mason. Some wins for some of our teams.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that IKM Manning team. They dropped the first game to Carroll on a Saturday. I know, Jeff, you were there, and then they win the tournament again. You can probably give more insight on that than I could.
Yeah, IKM Manning and Carroll were in the same pool. They opened up with each other on Saturday morning. Carroll ended up winning that one in two. The two teams then ended up going first and second in their pool and advanced into the semifinals. It was IKM Manning taking Audubon, who won the other pool, going 3-0. IKM Manning defeated Audubon in two, and Carroll got by Storm Lake in three. So Carroll ended up playing IKM Manning for the championship, two teams in the same pool, and IKM Manning was able to pull out the victory there to win the tournament championship. So they've had a great week, going 7-2 over the week. They beat two ranked teams on the road. Their two losses were good teams. They fell to ESAC last night in their triangular and then lost to Carroll on Saturday. Carroll's playing pretty well. They went 4-2 over the last week. Audubon, kind of a tough start to the week last week at the beginning with some ranked teams, but ended up going 3-3, going 3-0 in pool play again at Carroll to win their pool. Kemper rolls through the CYO. No real surprise there. The one team people thought might push them a little bit is Helan. They were preseason ranked but have fallen out of the rankings. Otherwise, Kemper kind of rolled, didn't drop a set at all on Saturday. They had a 6-1 week. Their one loss came to Red Oak last week. On Tuesday, Red Oak, a ranked team, and ranked ahead of them and stuff. So Kemper was certainly capable of winning that one. I don't want to make it sound like that, but mm-hmm. You lose to a team ranked ahead of you, even if it's home, that's not a bad loss, is I guess the way that I'd like to say that. So
yeah, and then the other team that won a tournament, Coon Rapids Baird, yep. I mean, they go and they swept through that tournament, only losing to OABCIG in there, and then they ended up winning that one. It was what we believed was a three-way tie between Coon, OABCIG, and Kingsley Pearson. Mm-hmm. I don't think we still figured out exactly how they would have won that one, but
yeah, there's different tiebreakers. I'm guessing all three teams look like they went 3-1 in matches, so I'm assuming most of the time your set's record is what the next tiebreaker is. Mm-hmm. When you can't do head-to-head. So I'm guessing that Coon probably ended up had a better overall sets record and ended up getting the championship. But they're 5-2, dropping their first two matches of the season Saturday to OABCIG, and then on last night they would lose to IKM Manning in the first of that triangular down at IKM Manning. So, and Mason brought that up earlier. We broadcasted all three of the matches last night on Kick and then on the CB Sports Network YouTube channel. So we stayed live the whole time, and I think it worked out pretty well. We got video interviews with kids from all three teams that are posted, and we did post-game interviews with all three of the coaches after their matches as well last night. So it kind of worked out pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you move around, and so Jeff did the first game of play-by-play, and I did color commentary and ran the video for a little bit. Then Jeff went and interviewed some of the girls from IKM Manning, and I slid over and interviewed Coach McKaylee Cron, and then did the second game of play-by-play. Then we switched that way again, and it worked really well, I'd say, and I think I like the fact that we were in Manning, and you have kind of that loft up there, so we're out of the way of everything else and able to kind of freely move and be in our own area.
And meanwhile, while you guys were working, I was at home grilling pork chops.
How were they?
Oh, they were awesome. They were awesome.
Tender?
absolutely, man. I don't dry out this stuff. Talk about IKM Manning. Is kind of the return to relevance in volleyball?
Yeah, I would say.
They had a long slump in there.
They did. And even the girls brought it up last night. They're like, was the last time we were kind of relevant, Kaylee Blake cheers? And I'm like, oh, you've had some, good teams, since then or whatever. But, yeah, they've had a run here where it's been a little bit of a struggle. But, you look at this group, and it's not just seniors. You've got some really good sophomores helping them out and some other juniors and stuff helping them out. But you look back, and a lot of their starters right now and the girls that are playing were seniors that were playing as freshmen, and they took their lumps as freshmen. They took some lumps as sophomores, but you saw the improvement. Last year you started to see that, hey, we're gaining some confidence. Mm-hmm. They weren't too far away from 500. They came into this year wanting to go above 500. I think they've got a chance to make a run in 1A and do some scary things. They beat two ranked teams in 2A on the road last week. So that tells you, and then they knock off a good Carroll team that's a 4A program. This is, you know, or 3A program, I should say. This is a team that's capable of playing really, really good volleyball.
I'd say it's been a while since they've been in the conversation for a lot of things. So, good job by the IKM Manning program kind of coming back once again into importance in Class 1A there. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to return, talk a little football, and get our sack of the game coming up next.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
It's KCIM Sports Rewind. If you catch the podcast available on the website, just skip past the first 90 seconds or so and you'll get to the actual sports.
You get to hear Mason trying to explain some sports.
A little bit. We shut that down immediately.
So
we didn't want to waste the good content until 9:30 exactly. So not sure we've reached our stride yet with great content. But anyway, here we go. High school football. Let's get our sack of the game. By the way, our winner is Allison Spore of Carroll. Make sure you get to Market on 30 and get registered for that sack of the game. So what is our sack of the game?
It happened in the Carroll-Lewis Central game, and thanks to Nick Brinks, who broadcasted that. He sent me an email with a little description, so I'll run through it here real quick. Lewis Central was up 28-21 in the fourth, had possession at the Carroll 24 in field goal range with a chance to go up two possessions. Caden Luders came through unblocked on second down and blew up the LC quarterback for a loss of 9 on a second and 8. They had to settle for a 50-yard field goal try, and they missed it wide right. Carroll backed this up with a tying 46-yard touchdown run by Adam Malik and picked up a pick six by Matt Collison then to go up 34-28. The PAT, of course, was blocked, but that sack from Caden Luders was a big momentum swing.
And it's our sack of the game.
Good morning, all student-athlete parents. Don't let your hectic schedules keep you from feeding your family. The Market on 30 can help you with quick and easy options like Pasquale's Pizzas, our famous mac and cheese, chicken strips, and much more. The Market on 30 in the BP Plaza.
Well, that was a tough loss for the Carroll Tigers at Lewis Central. They thought they had it with that pick six from Matt Collison, but Lewis Central comes back late.
Yeah, heartbreaker again, 1-3 on the year, all three losses by one score or less. You know, that night they lose 35-34. As you heard that, you know, they grabbed the lead and then Lewis Central was able to do it. And again, Carroll had the ball in the closing moments trying to drive down and get themselves in range. And you know, we know Kieran Polking's got a good leg on him. So if they could have gotten field goal range, we could have saw what happened. But again, falls short. And you got to wonder mentally how they bounce back, because they've got a tough one in Harlan coming up this week.
Yeah, I'll broadcast that one with Harlan and get to talk to Coach Roeder tomorrow. But you look at those games, the Gilbert game, obviously a pick on the goal line ends that one when they lose by a score. The Spencer game, they were climbing back into it and ended up not getting into field goal range or not being able to get in the end zone to get one. Then you lose to Lewis Central like that. And then Harlan last week shuts out a Denison team, and so they're going to have a little bit of momentum going into week four. But it's Carroll's homecoming as well, so I think it should kind of be a little bit evenly matched. The other note I wanted to make in that district with Greene County, I mean, a 3-1 Greene County team, but you lose your best receiver and cornerback for probably the rest of the season, I assume. So that team, you know, is going to take a little bit of bumps through Class 3A District 6.
Yeah, and our thoughts go out to Trayvon Keeley. Of course, we cover him when he plays at Peyton Chardin for basketball and track and the other athletics there. Injured this past week. I reached out to him over the weekend to see how he was doing and then chatted with him just a little bit and told him we were thinking about him. But, it would be nice, you know, if he would have been able to go throughout the season as he was leading Greene County. But I still think the Harlan Carroll winner this Friday probably has to have the leg up, but Greene County's really played good football so far this year, so you could have a three-team race. Doesn't seem like anybody else in the district's probably going to push either of those three teams. So this game this Friday night is going to be huge for the Tigers if they want to win a district.
Kemper Knights had their hands full in the first half, but pulled away in the second half for a nice win against OABCIG.
Yeah, I'll tell you, OABCIG in the first half had a really nice job of rushing attack. I can't remember the running back's name, but the quarterback, Rafe Jensen, did a nice job of getting out of the pocket and kind of being really, like, slippery outside of the pocket. He got touched a lot by some Knights, but did not get brought down. And then the second half, you know, Coach Ryan Steinkamp said they didn't switch anything. From our perspective, it looked like they went to a five-man front and then got a lot more pressure there. You saw between Lucas Steele and Jack Baden getting to the ball easy. And then for Kemper, such an explosive offense, they went in the first half to be down by one score. They throw a one-play touchdown to Braxton Vanami and then a three-play touchdown to Braxton Vanami. And you saw differing play styles from a seven-minute drive and an eight-minute drive for OA to two minutes here for Kemper, 30 seconds here for Kemper. So I think that OA did a nice job of keeping them kind of at bay for a while, but Kemper's offense ultimately got the better of them.
Yeah, Kemper's so explosive in their passing game this year, and they've got a really good running game too with Jaron Hoffman. The weird thing is they throw it so well, you almost feel like they don't have to run the football very much with Hoffman. I think he's a kid that could run for 200 a game or 150 a game, but they don't need him because they can beat you so much with the weapons on the outside.
Yeah, and that's what gives other teams fits. They don't play the same style of the teams that they've always – there was always run first with them. Maybe Kemper can go throw pass first, and that really throws off a lot of defenses.
It does. It does. And that district, you know, Southeast Valley is sitting undefeated right now in the district, and they're off to a good start. But I still think that the Okaboji-Spirit Lake game this past Friday, probably the winner that came out of that would be the other team to challenge Kemper, and Okaboji got a late field goal to edge by Spirit Lake 10-7. But he'll still think – if there's anybody that can challenge Kemper in that district, it'll probably be one of those two teams.
And Southeast Valley is up next for Kemper, right?
They are. Yep, absolutely. That'll be the game coming up this Friday. Nick Brinks and Doug Wanniger are going to have that game over on Kick 106.7. And I do want to give a shout out to Nick. We kind of joke with him at times, but you know, he's the guy that takes most of our longer travel games most of the time, and we appreciate him being willing to go out on the road with Mason and I, always trying to get back for the scoreboard show. Sometimes us taking that and in Southeast Valley's a little over an hour, so it's not much of a drive. But for him to allow us to get the game started a little closer here to home, it kind of makes it a little easier for us to get back.
He gets the Willie Nelson Award on the road again.
On the road again, yes, absolutely.
So, Nick would love that.
Yes.
That country reference.
Yes, he probably has that song and maybe listens to it on the way.
Had I had it queued up, I would have played it.
You would have played it for him. Yeah.
Every time we mention Nick, maybe we're going to play that song.
There you go, on the road again. That'll be his theme song, but I know he goes back and listens to the podcast if he doesn't get to listen to us live, so he'll hear that conversation. Class 1A District 2, congrats to South Central Calhoun, kind of righted the ship a little bit after a tough start, played well, got the run game going some. Threw the ball well, threw it really well this weekend, but they knocked off South Hamilton 35-14. And then Mason Esack, I think you wrote that one for the weekend. They ended up falling to Manson Northwest Webster. They knew that was going to be a test and just kind of ran into a bus all the way it sounded.
Yeah, you know, with Manson, I know Coach McCullough was optimistic right away going into that game, thinking that they could come out with a win there, but it's just been a struggle for ESAC so far, and we've seen that. But I think with, you know, you got a coach like Coach McCullough up there and able to probably turn things around here in the middle part of the season.
And South Central's going to be tested this weekend. They're hosting Emmitsburg. Right now, that looks like maybe for the district championship. There's still a lot of games left to play, and ESAC gets a South Hamilton team that comes in kind of struggling a little bit, so they've got a chance to pick up a win and maybe get that third win of the season for them. So we wish both of those teams good luck this weekend as well.
Ought to have been rolling again.
Yeah, I'm going to spend a couple of minutes here maybe talking about it. Their defense was probably the most impressive defensive effort I've seen in all of my years of covering football. Their front three, Cam's a good team. I mean, they had beaten a ranked Bedford team on the road the week before, put up 40, almost 50 points in that game. That's a good offense. But Audubon held them to negative 26 yards of total offense in the game. It was incredible that their possessions, I think they had 10 in the game, 7 of them were 3 and out, 2 of them were turnovers on the first or second play, 1 of them was a pick 6, and then against the reserves in the second half, they got a first down and then ended up losing yardage on that possession anyway, but that was the only first down they gained the entire game. But yeah, negative 26 yards of total offense in the game. And I think you were telling me, I know Coach Burks put something out yesterday. They're giving up, what, negative 7 yards
negative,
or something?
Negative 7 yards on the season so far. And talking to him this morning, I mean, he drew the play out for me, is that Cam threw a wide receiver screen on the left side, and he said that by the time the ball was in the receiver's hands, they had five guys touching the receiver or on the way to make a tackle. Wow. And he said he's like, all credit goes to the defense and the fact that guys are going and doing their job. And he told me, he goes, it's not that we're running stunts to do that. He said we play a very vanilla defense. We go out there and just do what we need to do. And he says that guys just fill their roles and do what they need to do every night. So, I mean, that's credit to that team when you don't put out stunts to be able to do that, but you just say go out there and do what you need to do.
There was a couple of times the other night Randy Spies helped me do the game, and literally it was like, well, in on the tackle was, well, all eight guys out on the field, or you would ramble through five names because there was five guys on a play out in the flat that were there to make the tackle. And like he said, it was pretty much as soon as the running back or the receiver caught the ball, they had five guys hitting them.
So, I don't care what level you're talking about, what class you're talking about, that is impressive.
That's dominant football.
Yeah. And, I mean, they've had great defenses there in the past.
They have.
And some great teams, but this may be the best defense ever.
I would think so, because I think it might be the best group that they've had up front. You talk with Coach, and he talks about how they dedicated themselves in the weight room. They've changed their body structure. They've added mobility and quickness along with the strength, and they've bought in down there, and the seniors lead that entire thing. So
impressive stuff. You got a great, actually, game this week. Casey Miners has it. Our Weeba Coon Rapids Bear, and we got to talk about Glidden Ralston here, too, quick.
Yes. You got Coon rolled by Griswold 72-0. No big surprise there. Our Weeba topped Xyrocorn Kimbleton 60-24. So both of those sitting 2-1 in the district. And Coon can control their own destiny, so I'm not giving them no chance at all against Audubon. But this right here could be that one that maybe locks in at least a second place finish for whoever comes out of here. Because Coon's already got Cam out of the way. They would have Arweva out of the way. They still would have to play Glidden and Audubon and stuff. And Glidden's still in that hunt as well. But Audubon right now looks like the team to beat in that district. So that Arweva-Coon game is going to be huge. Glidden-Ralston fell to a non-district game to Bouyer Valley, 34-6. So they'll look to bounce back this week.
But they got Cam coming in.
And they've got Cam coming in. So that's
going to
be a big one.
What kind of mood is Cam going to be in?
Yeah, are they going to be upset, or are they going to have rolled over a little bit after kind of being taken behind the woodshed this past Friday? I can't imagine them kind of walking away and not playing really, really well. And then the other team we didn't mention, ICAM Manning, they lost up at Woodbury Central. I think if they'd have won another quarter, it sounds like they might have won that game, but they had wore down Woodbury Central, but fell 21-14. They're 0-2 in the district, but their two losses, both by one score, and to the teams right now that look like the 1-2 team in that district. So I think they've got a chance to still maybe slip in that third spot in the district.
All right. That wraps up what's happening for week four of high school football. Week five coming up. Of course, Jeff, you've got the scoreboard show coming up this Friday night from 10 to midnight.
You bet. And I want to thank you. I guess you had asked earlier if there was anything. So I want to thank Craig Lux. He's coming in to work the scoreboard show on his birthday.
On his birthday?
On his birthday. So we're going to have to do something special for him his birthday.
You're spending your birthday with Jeff Blankman. What's wrong with you?
Nobody else is willing to do that.
That is true. Somebody's got to do it. That is KCIM Sports Rewind. Catch a podcast available on the website here in just a couple more minutes.